This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It is Wyman and Bob live from T-Mobile Park here at Seattle Sports Station on 710 and seattlesports.com. Mariners getting down to business, getting back to it, Dave, after a day off. We've got the Houston Astros here, the hated Houston Astros in town, game one of a three-game series. How much better would people feel if the Mariners got off to the perfect start and beat Justin Verlander out of the gates after all of the bad feeling, all of the gross feelings coming out of that Oakland A's series, and you get a chance to take out maybe the best pitcher, if not the best, one of the best this season in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, the best pitcher on the most cheating team.
Yeah.
In the entire...
bunch of cheating dogs.
Yeah, there's a guy out here in left field about 20 feet from us, and Bob says, I wonder which cheater that is.
he's got his back to us wearing a hoodie, so we can't see.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would identify. But they're all complicit, Dave.
I understand that. I've heard that before somewhere. Do you think we're still going to get that from the fans here
today? Yes. Yes, I was watching a Blue Jays game the other day, and George Springer was getting it each time he came up to the plate. And the commentators, the guys up in the booth, were talking about it, going, yeah, any current Astro, former Astro, still wearing this one or something like that. I'm like, good.
I remember last year one of their own fans, when they were playing in Buffalo, was screaming at George Springer. And you could hear the guy, and he's like, I still love you, but you're a cheater.
That's awesome. I love it. Yeah, they'll wear it. Take it with them wherever you go. Carlos Correa in Minnesota, George Springer in Toronto. Yeah, you can't escape it. But because they're wearing a different uniform.
That would be what the doctor ordered, though, what you just described, right? Coming out here and lighting up Verlander, getting a win. I mean, against one of the best teams in Major League Baseball after that debacle that was the A's series. That'd be the cure right there.
Yeah, I think it'd make people feel a lot better about things. Obviously, one game doesn't dictate how the season's going to go, but it would go a long way considering who he is and where that team currently is. Coming up on the show at 2:30, Manny Acta, the bench coach of your Seattle Mariners, will join us. We'll talk to a Mariners player. We're not entirely sure who that's going to be as of yet. Our old buddy Bill Krueger will join us for the very first time in a long time. You see him on Root Sports, does a great job there. He'll be with us at 3 o'clock. And then we'll get back to Mean Tex. It's been a while. We've had these weeks where the Mariners are on the East Coast, so it's been one-hour shows. We haven't been able to get to it. So I know there's a lot of stored-up venom and anger and just a desire to hurt feelings. Mm-hmm. So you can text in your Mean Text to 421-3776. That's powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. We'll do that in the 5 o'clock hour, which I know Thumb is really excited about. It's been a while since anybody's really given him a hard time.
It gives
time.
Me a purpose here.
I think I saw on the text line that people were kind of getting fired up, saying, you know, they're going to direct all their venom and hatred of the Houston Astros at Lefko.
I'm sure you saw that exact text.
And maybe
very specific text. Yeah.
Maybe we need to start it at 5:10 instead of 5:15 to get them all in. That's really only 8 minutes.
So. Yeah, we got to give them more time to spread out. Let them stretch out there, Mike. We'll get it in there, but that's, you got a few hours to get creative. Again, 421-3776 is the Mac and Jack's text line. But we're a few games past the quarter mark. Who was it we were talking to? Was it Blowers that was talking about he measured the season in quarters, I think?
Yeah.
You know, so which,
I think it was
162 games. Yeah, you got to break it up. And the Mariners, obviously, as a team, have underperformed and been disappointing, as we talked about. They're three games off their pace of last year at this point, sitting here at 18-27. But looking at, we're going to go through and talk about who's underachieved or overachieved. And maybe there should be a third category of just achieved.
Yeah. Or he was there.
He was just who he is. He's not better than he was, but he's not worse. He's living up to it. We'll see. But we'll go infield first. Okay.
So I think by the way, that category, sorry to interrupt you, would be like Jermaine Effetti.
Would be achieved.
He was just there.
He didn't crush it. He
lots of games. There were some penalties.
There were times you could argue he underachieved.
There was a season where he had one penalty every game.
Yeah.
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 So that's maybe a little bit harsh. But
there are moments he played the role of a turnstile here and there. But, you know, he was a guy. He was just a guy. He was there. But if you go through the infield, let's start with your guy over there at third base, Eugenio Suarez. Why is he my guy now?
I think you're excited about his defense. You've brought it up multiple times how pleasantly surprised you are with him. So
no, I just needle. I like to needle the little controversy or argument that is going on between you and Brent Stecker.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it doesn't need any needling.
No.
It's organic, Dave. It happens on its own.
Well, listen, here's the thing. Like, I expect now, I didn't pay attention to him with the Reds last year.
Nobody did.
Yeah, but, you know, I'll be honest. Just from what you have said, I felt like there was going to be errors right and left and here and there. And really, I've seen he has a really good throwing arm, as they say.
He's got, as opposed to a resting arm. Yeah, he does have it. He's got a great arm.
Great arm. Yeah. Remember he had that one where it was in Boston where he kind of hesitated a little bit and then still they called him safe and they ended up overturning it. So yeah, I think he's had the one hand grab a couple of times. I just thought he has been a pleasant surprise, but the surprise is really only there because of you.
Well,
because
it's not,
you have said,
and I was going from the. This is what I get for getting into the sabermetrics.
Yeah,
this is what I get having not watched. I wasn't watching Reds games and Eugenio Suarez. Come on, watching the Mariners. I didn't care what he was doing. So what do you do when he comes over? You go, oh, let me do some research and look at this guy and look at his numbers, and the defensive metrics were not good. Now, part of that was he played shortstop for a period of time, which I guess was not a good thing for him.
Right.
Didn't watch it, but the numbers just weren't good defensively. That's where and we were in that mode of comparing, all right, what did you have? You had Kyle Seager, who was an incredible defensive third baseman. He was fantastic. So he was filling tough shoes there, big shoes defensively. Right. I'm with you. I'm pleasantly surprised by his defense. There are a couple plays he didn't make I feel like Seager would have made, but that's, you know, that's neither here nor there. It's not, he hasn't been a glaring weakness at third base by any stretch. And he got, if you remember, his first six games in spring training, he committed three errors.
I remember that.
Oh, for the love of God, man. Here we go already. So he got off to a really rough start there going, okay, well, I guess he is as advertised.
Well, and your criticism was well-founded. You know, I mean, he didn't do anything during spring training. Of course, we like to say, you know, during spring training, they're just working on stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That's usually for the pitchers.
Usually for pitchers who are getting lit up or hitters up at the plate who are struggling or working on mechanics. Generally, it's not for fielding. I'm working on stuff with my glove.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, but we're gonna go. We just lost Lefko.
Oh boy, Ballard Pizza Company. These guys are the best.
I was just saying how hungry I was.
We just lost Lefko. Tyler, can you step in? Possibly.
Just saying.
There is a pizza near.
Oh, I'm a professional. Lefko. I'll wait.
The best food.
I'll
for
wait
Lefko
till the break.
Is free food. He loves free food.
Yeah. But pepperoni and cheese.
That's why he went to the Seattle Sports Star of the Year Award.
Yeah, he didn't care about the awards. He just knew they were giving free food there. So he said, "I'm color me present. I'll be there." Yeah. But our thanks to Ballard Pizza, which is right by us here. We're at Edgar's Cantina, by the way. I don't think I said that. It is Friday. So we are live at Edgar's Cantina, as we are every Friday home game.
It's one of the best pizzas I've tasted in a long time.
It's phenomenal. Their crust is outstanding.
Incredible.
So good. But, yeah, they're right around the corner from Edgar's Cantina for you pizza lovers here at the stadium. And we thank them. That's awesome. But, yeah, I'm with you on Suarez. Pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
Defensively. Offensively, he'd be achieved. I don't think he's underachieved. I don't think he's overachieved. I think he's exactly who he's been the past couple of seasons. We were hoping we would see the version of him from years previous where he was, you know, he had a really nice on base and he was still striking out a lot. It's what he does. He's second in all of Major League Baseball with 60 strikeouts, one behind Patrick Wisdom of the Chicago Cubs, who has 61. I mean, he's on pace for over 200 strikeouts at this point. So let's hope that number dips a bit as the season goes on. But you're looking at a .216 batting average with a .306 on base. He's got 9 home runs. He's kind of who he's been the past couple of years, where people are saying, well, he's been better. And his numbers say he's been better. So I'm hoping the next quarter, we will do this after the next quarter, and we'll talk about him overachieving. But right now, I'd say he's exactly as advertised as a hitter, strikes out a ton. He's got some pop and a pleasant surprise defensively.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess overall then, I would say he's overachieved. Because if he is exactly who you thought he was at the plate, maybe a little worse because of the 60 strikeouts, but you know, .216 batting average, that's not blowing anybody's skirt up, but he's headed for like what, 36, we're about quarter of the way done. I think it's like 27-28% of the season is gone. And you know, he's headed for what, 36 Yeah. And he's got more home runs than anybody in Major League Baseball since 2018, I believe.
Yeah.
So we see that stat quite a bit. So I'd say he's a little on the upside. So, and if that has to fall into overachieve, I'll say overachieve because he's gotten you your home runs, the strikeouts you knew were going to come, not at that rate. But, you know, if he is who you think at the plate and then he's a pleasant surprise and better defensively, I'm gonna say he's overachieved.
Okay.
And you said achieved.
Achieved.
Just achieved.
I think he is. Yeah. I'll just give him. He's about what he was billed to be. Better defensively. I was hoping for a little bit better, closer to what he was a few years ago offensively. Not there yet. J.P. Crawford, April, wildly overachieved. Wildly overachieved. He was on fire. He and Ty France. And we'll get to Ty France, but. Feels like maybe he's starting to come back to it. I think he's 4 for his last 8. He suffered that back injury. I don't know how much he was or still is being impacted by that, but he's hitting 296 with his I love the on-base 377. Showed some early power with the 4 home runs. Defensively, he's kind of, I mean, if you're just going by errors, what does he have, 6 right now?
Wow.
I think is the number he's at. That's a dip. That's a dip. So I would say, and he's kind of the opposite of Suarez, where I'd say defensively he's probably underachieved a bit. You know, you're used to that smooth gold glove caliber shortstop, which he's been for the most part. He's just had some mistimed ball. I don't know what's happened with him defensively in those moments. But overall, he's an incredible shortstop defensively. Got off to a great start offensively. Definitely cooled down in the month of May. So I'm gonna put him at achieved. Hedging towards overachieved,
yeah,
based on his offense.
I'm just going to say overachieved because also remember Kyle Seager saying that J.P. Crawford is the leader on this team. And, you know, that to me gives you a little bit, takes you over the top. You're right. I mean, and don't you feel like whenever he makes an error, it's exactly like Tyler Lockett, who, by the way, was a sports star of the year, right, here in Seattle.
Yeah.
But you know, when
I think he beat out Mitch Haniger, didn't he?
Did he?
I believe
Mitch
so.
Haniger was up. Lefko was there, but he wasn't paying attention.
He had his face buried
in
a plate of food.
Eating desserts.
For male star of the year. We're going to get to that at 2:20 in take 2. Yeah. You'll learn. There you go.
There's me.
You have to wait.
I'm blowing the top off of another topic that's going later on, but that's why he was quiet.
Yeah.
No, but Tyler Lockett, I mean, when he drops a pass, you're just like, oh, that's okay. That's okay, man, because you know he's not going to. And I feel the same way about JP. He's such a wizard defensively.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm gonna have to say overachieve with him.
How about Adam Frazier? Another guy we didn't spend time watching. He was in the National League. He was brought here to be a leadoff hitter, and he goes up there hacking. He's not a guy that takes walks. He goes up there swinging the bat. He's hitting 256 with a 325 on base at this moment. I'm going to say underachieved. He's one of the higher-paid players on this roster. I think he's at $7.5 million per season. I think you were hoping for a bit more out of him offensively in terms of his on-base percentage. I know he's not a power guy. What do we say? 2 back-to-back years of 10 home runs. I think that's his career high. But, yeah, I would put him in underachieved.
Yeah, I agree, just because, you know, you look at what he's had as far as a batting average the last 4 years, 305, 324, 267, now he's at 256. And like you said, getting on base isn't really necessarily his deal, right? He's gonna go up there. And
yeah, he's hacking.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, walking, not getting on base. So, yeah, that's I'd say underachieved.
Yeah, and then this is the most obvious answer of the entire infield. Ty France, he's overachieved. And you already knew he was great coming in. You knew he was a phenomenal hitter when he's healthy. I mean, even when he wasn't healthy, end of the season, what, hitting 296, I believe. He dealt with that wrist injury the whole year. He is just, I love watching that guy hit. I absolutely love it when he comes up to the plate. And you brought up Tyler Lockett. It's not a fair expectation. It's not really an expectation. But when he doesn't come up with a hit in a game, if he's not at least 1 for 4, I'm kind of surprised. I'm like, really? Wow. That's crazy that he didn't come up with it. You just expect he's just going to get at least 1 hit per game.
Yeah, and another thing defensively with him, speaking of Tyler Lockett once again, is that remember the 2 that went off at the heel
yeah,
of
the
his glove?
Yeah.
One was against Toronto. I don't remember what happened after that, but I do remember the one in Miami. The next pitch,
Logan Gilbert
was able to to get a strikeout, so it didn't cost him anything. He's just been so – I think that's where I've been the most impressed. I mean, his bat – I mean, I remember Shannon Dreyer saying all he does is hit,
yeah.
And that was his nickname coming in. So you kind of expect that, I guess, a little bit. Not this. I mean, what is – with runners in scoring position, he's like 480 or something like that, or 420, whatever, yeah, some ridiculous number.
He's hitting 331 with a 406 on base. He's got the second most hits in all of Major League Baseball at 59. I mean, he's so unassuming. I'd be stunned if people in New York knew who he was, or if, you know, people in Cincinnati or in Pittsburgh have any idea who he is. He's not a flashy guy. He's not a bat flip guy. He's not a, you know, he's not out there gesturing on base or anything. He doesn't play with that sort of emotion. He's just wildly consistent.
Yep. And yeah, runners in scoring position going into the game the other day, he's got two home runs, 22 RBIs, and he had a two RBI double in that outing, or that at plate appearance. So yeah, 405 with runners in scoring position. You just expect him to hit. But yeah, the thing that's most stood out to me has been how good he is at first base.
Yeah.
I know he had played somewhat there, but not enough to be this good.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the best player on the team at this particular point.
Yep.
He is by far and away. All right. Looking at the outfield, this gets a little easier for the wrong reasons. Jesse Winker has been a wild underachiever. And some of it we talked about early in the season where it was just really awful luck. And to his credit, we talked about this yesterday. I really appreciate when we talk to him. A, he's a really cool guy. He's very easy to root for. Such a cool personality. Yeah. But when we brought that up, the expected batting average on balls he put in play and all that good stuff, he's like, yeah, I don't really care about that. I'm not interested in that stat.
Which is cool. This is
what I've done, and here's what I haven't done.
Right.
And I love that. I love that attitude about it. Now, having said that, he's got to figure something out, man, because he's still hitting 216 with a 314 on base percentage. He's got two home runs on the season. He's done a great job walking, you know, to get on base, but you brought him here to do more. He was the core of that trade. He was the target in that trade. He was an all-star last year. Yeah. That sees it's, to this point, the quarter mark, big-time underachiever.
Yeah, last year he hit 305. So, and that's something, you know, it's funny. I was watching a national show, which Ryan Roland Smith was on. And, they were talking about, gosh, what were the categories? It was like concern, panic, you know, crazy or whatever. I can't remember the third one. And he was saying that he was kind of panicked, and his was more about, you know, which we'll get to, was more about the youth and like Jared Kelnick. But I think it was Ron Darling that said, it's Winker. Jesse Winker, he's the guy that that really needs to come around. I love that he didn't use that as an excuse,
mm-hmm.
you know, because remember the first week or two, his discipline at the plate, and Son of Augustifson, by the way, wrote an article about that and alluded to the fact that, you know, they've been doing a good job at the plate as far as swing decisions go. But, you know, Jesse Winker's been good that way, but I also liked the fact that he didn't use that as an excuse, you know, expected batting average.
Yeah, I love that he just completely shied away from it. Like, yeah, I don't really care. In a nice way, he said that. So that was an easy one. Now, Julio, another easy one. He's overachieved because I was looking at a 21-year-old kid who had never obviously experienced anything at this level. We saw what happened with Kelnick, so we kind of went into it going, hey, there are going to be some definite bumps in the road, and there were very early for him striking out at the – he still strikes out a bit too much. You'd like to see that corrected, but some of those called strike threes that he was dealing with, he couldn't have dealt with them better, especially as a guy who was trying to prove I'm worthy of all this attention and hype, and he knows all the expectations attached to him and what he's been doing. Defensively, he's been an incredibly pleasant surprise in center field. Leads Major League Baseball in stolen bases, currently hitting 267 with a 320 on base, 406 slug. Hitting 315 in the month of May with a 351 on base. I mean, he's overachieved.
It's pretty amazing. What is he, 6'3", 225, 220? Yeah. He's your stolen base leader in Major League Baseball. Yeah, absolutely overachieved.
Jared Kelnick, underachieved.
We all agree on that.
Mitch Haniger, incomplete.
Oh, wait, why is he on the list? He wasn't on my list, the list that I was going to select from yesterday.
Nine games, he's incomplete. You can't grade him. Dylan Moore,
He's underachieved.
I love Demo.
But I know you do, but there's not been much there. Catchers quickly. We'll blow through these. Tom Murphy, incomplete. Right. Can't grade him. Luis Torrens, overachieved behind the plate in comparison to last year where he was a disaster. Mm. At the plate, he's underachieved. He has not given you much of anything at the plate this year.
194, 272 on-base percentage.
Yeah. Cal Raleigh behind the plate defensively, like him a lot. Best defensive catcher you've got between the three. At the plate, disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then your guy Toro, he's underachieved.
Yeah, another one of those utility guys.
Yeah.
Need those guys to step up.
All right, let's take two.
Well, the Seattle Sports Star of the Year awards were last night. Tyler Lockett wins Male Sports Star of the Year, spoiled by Dave Wyman.
What?
It's all right. You probably knew already. It happened last night. And UW Softball's Gabby Plain was the Female Athlete of the Year. And the Sports Story of the Year was the Kraken's inaugural season.
Now, Tyler beat out Mitch, right?
Yes.
Mitch Haniger?
Yeah, there were like eight or nine guys nominated.
But those are the two that mattered most.
Don't tell the other nominees.
No, those are the two we talked the most about and were rooting for. And, you know, you feel good about either one of those guys winning. Tyler Lockett's one of the classiest guys we ever talked to. Just a brilliant professional, great guy. I mean, what hasn't been said? What can I say?
He writes books. He's part of, isn't it some docuseries or something that he's doing?
He won an Emmy Award.
It's called Black Wall Street, I think.
For his feature on that. A sports Emmy for
it. Has something to do about Tulsa, I believe. So, yeah, just an amazing kid. Never makes a peep like we talk about. I mean, have you ever heard anything negative coming out of his mouth? All he does is
go out there
and get it done. Yeah.
Well, it might have slipped under the radar yesterday, but the Seahawks have signed third-round pick Abe Lucas. So five of the nine are signed, but unfortunately, it's the notable ones that aren't signed. The top three picks so far haven't signed Charles Cross, Boye Mafe, and Ken Walker.
I'm surprised you didn't read Carson Cross.
Yeah.
Because that's what you put in the show sheet.
Yeah.
He's not burgundy like I am.
I was like, damn.
I would have read Carson.
My computer turned off. I think that might have helped me. Yeah.
There's always an excuse. It's not I just messed up.
I didn't mess up.
How did I not know his name was Carson?
Anyway.
I'm sorry.
What is it that's being negotiated? Because it's slotted. So yeah, I'm curious why there's hang-ups or why it's slower for some of these guys versus others. Because it's not like we're offering you $30 million, and then all of a sudden, the negotiations take place. All right, he got $50 million. That's not how it goes now.
Yeah, I think it's how it's structured, you know, a little bit that way. But you know, you don't ever see him getting hung up on it, right? Nobody's gonna not be signed because it's pretty well slotted. But I was on XM Radio today with Pat Kerwin, and you know, they were asking me about Abe Lucas, and I said, you know, I think he's going to be a starter, but it might be one of those middle of the season type of deals. You got Jake Curran, but of course you got Charles Cross, who's going to be a starter from day one.
Take two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/cyberknifeprostate. And you just refreshed on me there, Lefko. The Mariners bench coach that is Manny Acta will join us next as we continue live from Edgar's Cantina at T-Mobile Park. It's Wyman and Bob. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.
This is Seattle Sports Station.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob, brought to you by Angel of the Winds Casino Resort.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We continue live from Edgar's Cantina here at T-Mobile Park. Mariners getting set to take on the Houston Astros. Game one of a three-game series coming up tonight with Chris Flexen on the hill taking on Justin Verlander. 5:30 pregame, 6:40 first pitch. Come by Edgar's Cantina if you guys are coming to the game. Say hello. We're hanging out here. We've got
Jesse Winker will be here too at 5 so they can meet him.
Jesse Winker?
Not meet him, but talk to him.
Is he going to be here when the fans are here?
Yeah, he will.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You got to turn your mic on there, Dave.
No wonder I couldn't hear myself. Is he have a night off?
I don't know. I don't know. We'll get deeper into that. Right now, we've got Mariners bench coach Manny Acta joining us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Manny, how are you?
I could be doing better, but it's none of you guys' fault. Or actually, I don't like to blame it on anybody.
Well, hey, boy, if we could help, we absolutely would, Manny. You know, we're living and dying with this team just like you are. What is it like in that clubhouse during a stretch like this? Is it quiet? Are there guys standing up and saying, "Come on, guys, we got to do this"? Or is it you and Scott in there talking to the players? How does it go during a time like this?
Well, a lot of it. Fault and the coaching staff. You know, we got a lot of young players in there, and some guys that came from the outside that probably don't think that it's their spot yet to step up and take leadership roles. But these guys are very consistent, man. They believe in themselves. They still play their music loud. They get out there and play the game. But they do understand that we need to get better. We need to have some same sense of urgency, and even when we're short, because everybody knows we're short, but no one is going to feel sorry for you. No one is going to feel sorry that Henniger is not in, and no one's going to feel sorry that, you know, Lewis just came in and Murph is out and so forth. So we have to get out there, play better, and ride this thing out.
Hey, Manny, you mentioned, you know, some of the young guys that you're working with, and boy, we sure are impressed by Julio. And just the, you know, the way he started and hung in there and some of those called third strikes. As far as a young guy goes, what really stands out to you about Julio Rodriguez?
Well, his makeup is something that we always knew about. And the way he handled those first couple of weeks of the season told us a lot. We always think that when you're in the minor leagues, you can survive from the shoulders down, because if you have the ability to play, talent, you can survive and play well. When you get to this level, it's from the shoulder up. There are guys who have a ton of ability and can't play up here, and there's some guys that have just average ability but have a good head on their shoulders and play forever. And this kid has the tools, and he has a good head on his shoulders. He didn't allow any of that to bother him the first couple of weeks, not the calls, not how he wasn't performing to his level, and just continue to show up, work, and adjust. And right now, he's doing very well. We need to be very careful so he doesn't try to do way too much now that we're struggling. But he's way too smart. He game to game, a bat to a bat, this guy, it's learning up here, and it's nice to see.
Hey, Manny, you brought up some guys that have come over, and they're not sure if it's their role to be a leader in this clubhouse or anything yet. We're going to be talking with Jesse Winker later on in the show, and we've spoken with him before. I mean, he's such a great personality. He seems like he's got the right temperament for the game. Yet you look at where he's at, and you can't help but be disappointed by, you know, what's happened. I know he is at this point. What are you seeing in his game? Do you feel like, man, this guy is close, he's right there? There was a lot of bad luck early in the season with some of the balls he hit, but what are you seeing from Winker at this point?
First of all, he fits right in over here. You know, he's a great guy, just as everybody has noticed. He's got a good personality. Unfortunately, things have not gone his way here offensively. And we understand that, you know, when you come into a new team, you want to impress people, you want to impress the fans, your teammates, and show why they traded for you and all that kind of stuff. And we've seen some flashes, you know, oh, here we go. Or we might be getting, you know, the wink that we know we're going to get. And then at times he goes back again. He, at the beginning of the season, he had some what people call unluck and some hard hit balls, and then some soft ones fell for him. So I think he's about breaking out of it. He had some better at-bats in Boston and here that, even if he didn't show much for it, we can tell by the swing and how on time he is with his front foot. So he's going to be able to lift the ball and help us out. But again, when you get in a hole like he is right now and the team is scuffling, you got to be very careful and not try to do too much or place all the blame on you. So hopefully Jesse can just take it one bat at a time and continue to work. And you know, he's got the track record. So it's impossible for this guy to continue to go through the season the way he's gone so far. So we're counting on him.
Manny, you mentioned Mitch Haniger a little bit, but is he still kind of around the team? And what does he mean to this team? He just seems like he's one of those guys in the clubhouse that's just a rock.
Boy, he means a lot. And he is around us. He's here every day. He goes through our meetings and everything, the hitters meeting, and he's part of it. We miss him dearly because not only he's our main guy in our lineup, but also his presence. And we call him our champ. I call him the champ around here. And, you know, we really miss him. And that's what I said at the beginning. You know, who was going to predict that, you know, Keltnick was going to struggle the way he did? Who was going to predict that, you know, the Winker and then the injury to Mitch? But, again, on the other side, no one cares about that. No one is feeling sorry for us, so we need to get up, play better, and move up again. But we do miss him dearly.
Hey, Manny, one guy we just can't get enough of is watching Ty France up at the plate, and we've talked to Mike Blowers and others about him, and I'm curious just to get your take. And he's so understated. He doesn't talk a lot. He's not demonstrative. He's not a flashy bat flip guy. He's none of that. He's so consistent, and he just you're surprised when he doesn't have at least one hit a game. You just expect it. What is it in your mind that really separates him or makes him the hitter he is versus other guys who look like they've got all the ability in the world, but they can't match what he's doing?
Yeah, he, as you mentioned, he keeps it simple. You know, he's got a simple swing, and he's got a terrific approach and mentality about hitting. You know, nowadays, everybody wants to lift the ball and hit it out of the park, but while doing that, just about everybody wants to pull the ball. And he's not that type of hitter. He uses a whole field, which is something that you don't see nowadays. Ty can go from line to line. He lets his eyes tell him what to do with the ball. He recognizes those moments where he needs to go the other way or when he needs to hit the ball up the middle and drive in a run. And he does that day in and day out. And you know, I think the simplicity of his swing and his approach just helps him big time because, you know, he has refused to buy into all the new stuff. And he trusts that swing that made him a good hitter in the minor leagues, and it's making him a good hitter up here. And, you know, we love him. And as you mentioned, he's very low-key, but he's a terrific first baseman defensively. And, you know, we wish we could have three or four more like him in our lineup right now.
Yeah, he is just a joy to watch as a baseball fan, I'll tell you what. Hey, Manny,
and
to be around
him, too.
Yeah.
You know, he's a terrific person, too.
Yeah, well, and you're a terrific person, man. We love talking to you. We always appreciate you taking time with us, and we know especially now during a tough stretch, it's not always fun to talk, but we appreciate you doing it, and hopefully we get a chance to talk when things have turned around and we're talking about winning streaks. Thanks so much, man.
Yeah, thank you, guys, and they will turn around. We got 4 months to go.
There we go. Thanks,
Coach.
Manny.
There you go. Manny Acta of your Seattle Mariners. Such a good guy. Always
makes me feel better. Right
always there. A good conversation with him. And he's you know, talk about great personalities in that clubhouse with players amongst the coaches. He's got such a good personality. So he's the right guy to have in there. If you missed any of that conversation with Manny Acta or any of our guests at this point, all you need to do is head to seattlesports.com, click the podcast tab, click on our picture after the show, and it'll be right there waiting for you. Make sure you search Wyman and Bob wherever you get your podcasts, whether that's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever. And as Dave tells you every time, click subscribe. All right, coming up, we've heard it before, but there's a reason why the NBA to Seattle rumors have serious legs this time. I'll tell you what we're talking about next. It is Wyman and Bob live from Edgar's Cantina at T-Mobile Park. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino as we continue live from Edgar's Cantina at T-Mobile Park. Beautiful day for baseball out here. Mariners taking on the Astros. Game one of the series tonight. Our thanks to Manny Acta, who joined us in the previous segment. Jesse Winker will join us later on in the show. We'll talk to him. Apparently he's not in the lineup tonight, which...
Yeah,
we were talking about during the break. It's kind of interesting. You'd figure after a day off going up against a righty, that you'd Winker would be in the lineup. I could see if it were a power lefty up there, and all right, maybe you want to limit that exposure. But
you should ask Jesse that when he comes out here.
Say, what's going on, dude? Why do they hate you? What's going on?
Yeah, here? Hey, look, a couple of things. First of all, Manny Acta, he's fantastic. I thought that was really interesting what he said. You know, minor leagues, it's shoulders down.
Yep.
But in the major leagues, it's shoulders up. That's the difference.
You know what it made me think of is when you talk about college and you didn't have to be precise in the steps. And, you know, Bump has talked about it in running routes. Like, it's got to be exactly 5 yards and then you break. Whatever it is, you get away with your athleticism at the college level. That's what I look at the minor leagues. Exactly. You're getting away with the athleticism. You get to this level, get to the NFL. That doesn't work anymore. You've got to have what's going on above the shoulders working in conjunction with the rest of you.
Yeah, everybody's that guy when you get to the big leagues, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's like you go around, oh, I was this in high school and that in college and this. And, yeah, everybody's that guy.
Yeah.
So now it has to do with that. But the other thing is, you know, with Jesse Winker coming out here, I mean, you know, the old saying that you are what your card says, it has to turn around for him. It absolutely has to, because he's batted 298, 299, 269, 255, 305 last year when he was an all-star. So, and right now he's
216.
At 216. So it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And the early part of the season, it was easier to explain because you're like, man, he's squaring the ball up. He's just hitting it right at people. Yeah. And then that sort of changed, and maybe the timing looked a little bit off. Maybe he was pressing. And you heard Manny talk about, hey, we got new guys that have come over that aren't sure if it's their place to, you know, be a leader in the clubhouse and still finding their way in a new environment going from the National League to the American League. So hopefully now that we're past that quarter point, first quarter anyway, they start to get more comfortable in what's going on. Meanwhile, we were talking NBA, and we talked about this article that John Canzano out of Portland wrote. About the Seahawks having to be sold eventually, but then we also played that clip of Brock Heward yesterday talking about, you know, money that would have to be recouped to the city based on the stadium being built, the deal that was in place for that, which he thinks could certainly hold that up. But as it pertains to the NBA, this is out of that article. It's, quote, a sitting team president of an NBA franchise told me, and this is John Canzano, told me it's unlikely that the league's owners would allow the Trailblazers to relocate to Seattle after a potential sale. That's a no-go, he said. The prevailing sentiment is that Seattle and Las Vegas have already been unofficially earmarked for NBA expansion, and the current owners would prefer to avoid cannibalizing what would be a windfall of $6 billion in combined expansion fees. So when we're talking about pro sports, the amount of money generated, that makes perfect sense, does it not? The owners would go, no. You know, you're not going to give them an existing franchise. They're going to pay the expansion fees in order to get an NBA franchise in Seattle and Las Vegas, and we are going to reap the rewards from that, which if you sell them the Blazers, we don't get that.
Right. Yeah, and I think it's been talked about forever that here's the one thing I wonder, though, because there's lots of Sonic fans out there that, you know, we don't really worry about, you know, will they be able to fill all the seats? Everybody's going to be excited if the Sonics return here, but is it starting to wane a little bit, maybe, of, you know, I know for, like, the first 4 or 5 years that we were on the air here at 710, you know, it was like people talking about the Sonics all
the
time.
We had the rally, the whole thing going on, and it looked like, you know, they were going to get the Kings, and, you know, Chris Hansen was front and center buying land left and right, making bids, and it felt like it was going to happen. So, that was a letdown. I think we all got really high about it and just thought it's we're right there. We're right there. The Maloofs are selling and we're going to get this team and all of that. And then it was just such a deflating thing after that. And then, you know, Key Arena being redone and you know, we wanted a stadium down here in the stadium district and Key Arena gets redone. Now it's Climate Pledge. So, yeah, there are reasons why I think the interest or the passion has waned a bit. But when you see this, Canzano also noted that this would likely be announced by 2024 when the NBA's TV rights deal is up. So I think if there's an announcement of a franchise, of an expansion franchise in the city, you're going to see people lose their minds in a very positive, big way.
Yeah, it's just funny. I mean, I think what you were talking about when they were the group that was going to buy down here in Soto and develop. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember the name of that group.
That was Chris Hansen. He bought up all the
Hansen. Yeah,
bought up all the land around here.
There's Bill Kruger.
Yeah,
yeah, Big time. We got big time Bill Krueger on the show coming up here. But yeah, I mean, at that point, I remember people going, okay, 2024, and that was in 2000, what, 12, 13, something like that, when they were talking about that, and it was like it seemed so far away.
Yeah.
But here it is.
Yeah, it's, listen, we can get people texting in talking about, I'm never going to watch the NBA again, and I hated David Stern, and I'm mad about how they, and I get it, you're justified to feel that way, but if a franchise lands in the city, that building will be sold out. It will be packed. It'll be a frenzy unlike anything we've seen because everybody's familiar with it and there's a history here. Unlike the hockey team, everybody was excited because it was new and hadn't experienced that. So, yeah, it will be a very big deal. All right, we're looking forward to getting this guy on set. He's shown up early, man. He's just that kind of guy. He is ready. He is prepped. He's got info. He's going to explain why things are happening the way they are and how they get better. The one, the only, Bill Krueger will join us next here with Wyman and Bob. We continue live from Edgar's Cantina. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and SeattleSports.com.